Hey everybody, Matt Siltala here alongside Dave Rohr. Looking forward to coming to or giving you guys another one of these Business of Digital podcast episodes. And we have a special guest today, Allison Stratton. Allison, welcome.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I'm excited that I get to be a special guest, but I think you might say that to all your guests.
Well, anyone that wants to be a guest on our show is special. You have to be special to deal with Dave and I.
Well, I think I'm up to the task. So we'll see how it goes.
Awesome. So again, we are excited. You know, we've been talking a little bit about where we're going to go with this episode, but we've been talking about just some of the books that you guys have, and I say you guys, you and your husband, Scott, have put out. You have a new one coming out pretty soon. So why don't you go ahead and kind of tell us a little bit about the new book that's coming out, and then we'll jump into what we're going to talk about today.
Sure. So our new book is called Unbranding, and it's 100 Branding Lessons for the Age of Disruption, which basically means we read and researched really thousands of brand stories and distilled them to 100 brand stories and 100 brand lessons that we feel different marketers and companies and entrepreneurs and employees can use to kind of brace themselves, grow their companies in this world that we live in where everything's changing all the time and technology's kind of running at us and the world's moving so quickly. And so how do you really set up your company or the company you work for or companies you work with for success when everything is kind of moving at the speed of light around you in business?
I love that. I mean, you already, I have your other books, but you've already sold me on this one. That I love, you know, just how you, what you said, how you have 100 different case studies and like that. That's awesome. I can't wait to read it. I love the branding side of it. You know, we do a lot of with branding at Avalanche Media. And so, that's something that's pretty fun. I can't wait to read it. And so I appreciate you coming on and chatting about this, but something that you said that maybe we could dive into a little bit and kind of go, you know, one of the things that Dave and I were talking about. Oh, wait, hi, Dave.
I am here.
We have Dave here. But one of the things that, you know, the direction with this podcast was, unmarketing your marketing. And so, one of the things that you did say though, you know, when you're talking about the book was just how rapidly things are changing. And so you think about all the different ways that marketing has been done. But, you know, I think about our industry and the search marketing industry, how forever it was run by Google. Okay. It was, you know, again, obviously there was, you know, those search engines before, but really it was just nothing but Google. And then, you know, that's kind of evolved to, you know, there's a lot of people that are just marketing and you know, you don't just go to Google anymore. You search for a lot of your products on Amazon, and even more so than just Google anymore, it's a lot of the branding and the mentions and the getting known is on social media. And so, again, it just gets me thinking more of just how things have evolved and how things are going. And so when you're talking about unbranding and when you're helping people with the marketing side of things, how are you helping them, you know, figure out where they need to be, what channels they need to be using? I mean, you know, do I still be, you know, what should I be doing with Google? What should I be doing with the different social channels that are out there? Should I be on all of them? Should I be, you know, where does it make sense for me being with Amazon and how does it all fit? And I know that that's a lot that I've asked, but it's just when you started talking about how things are evolving, I think about that and how things have evolved with what we do with, you know, it was very easy when someone wanted to market with us and we could just get them ranked on Google. But now we got to think about what we do with them on social channels, what we do with them on Amazon and other big places. And so, I don't know, just what do you think about that, Allison, and just some thoughts there?
Well, I think there's two different parts to answer your question. We focus on two different things when we're talking to people. So first is the why. So let's say you're living in like what you're talking about. So you're looking for different options for optimizing search and you are surrounded by all these new platforms, all these new options, and you just feel like you need to be everywhere. It's too much. And so the first thing you need to ask yourself is why. Why do you want to be there? Why do you feel you need to focus on Snapchat, for example? Or why do you think you need to focus on, focusing on the Amazon search like you were talking about? And a lot of people skip right past the why and just run, right? They just run everywhere. They try and use tricks and automation and all kinds of things to make it seem as though they're on every single platform in every single place that they can be. And they never really ask themselves why. And so one of the things we talk about a lot is that if you ask yourself why you want to jump into a new space, let's say for your marketing, and the answer is because we want to seem cool, or because millennials, you know, or because whatever your answer might be, then you need to stop and really rethink why you're doing something, because you can't possibly be everywhere at once. You can't seem cool. You can't seem innovative. You can't fake any of these things. You really need to think about, are your customers there? Is this platform the right platform for you? Do you have the resources to spend, you know, making sure that you're doing each of these different spaces in the right way? And do you have the kind of content or the kind of product or the kind of service that really belongs in all of those spaces? So that's really our first point, is, you know, answering why. And then the second point is focus. So once you decide that you do want to look at a certain, you know, kind of platform or a certain type of media or some new digital, you know, tool that you want to use, then you need to think about focus. Really focusing, we're very bad at that, and saying, okay, so not only am I going to do X, Y, and Z, but I'm going to do them properly, and I'm going to allocate the right resources. I'm going to outsource to other companies if I need to, or outsource to contractors. I'm going to do hiring to make sure I have the right people. You know, it's like filling up a warehouse with 100 telephones and not having anyone there to answer them. You don't get to say you have a call center if no one's answering your phone. So you can't just pretend to be places. So those two things, the why and the focus, will really help you kind of navigate which different direction that you want to take. Like, the answer can't be because our competition's doing it. The answer can't be, you know, because my, you know, 13-year-old thinks that I need to. And it needs to be practical. It needs to be right for your business. And then you need to allocate the right resources to make it happen properly.
I love that you said that. I'm going to let Dave chime in here, because one of the things that Dave, I look at when you answer that, I look at it for one of the main things that we do at Avalanche Media is a lot of the visual content, whether it be infographics, you know, interactive graphics, sell sheets, you know, all that kind of stuff, anything visual. But that's one of the things that we're always telling our clients, you know, when they come to us, or when just a random whatever person fills out a form and is like, I want an infographic. Then we have to like really dive into exactly what you just said. Well, why do you want an infographic? Like, what is it going to do? Maybe it's not the best thing for you. Maybe an ebook is better, or maybe a white or a sell sheet is better. And so, like, I love that you said that. But one of the things that the reason I want to turn this over to Dave for a bit is because one of the things that he's always talking about when we do a lot of content creation presentations together, you know, that's one of the things that he's like, you may not need an infographic. It may be the worst thing for you, or it may be, you know, so I don't know, just what are your thoughts on that, Dave? Because I know that you talk a lot about this specific stuff whenever Allison was mentioning
the training that I just made me think of a lot of the stuff that you talk about. The whole goal was to try to get, if you have a project and it's a digital project and you want to get this site redesign done, you want to get this infographic done, you want to get your new podcast launched, you want to create a video, you want to create this campaign of whatever it is, I didn't really say why, but the first couple of things I talked about are, who are all the stakeholders that could possibly be impacted? Who are all the different teams and different groups within a company that could be impacted and also might have resources that you need? And I didn't actually think about the why, but I kind of talked and tried to get people to think about, who are all these champions that could possibly help you? In a smaller company, it's always, you know, the owner, he just wants it, or she just wants it. But at a larger company, or even a mid-sized company, the why, I guess, could actually be the, you know, do you want your bonus? Let me help you get there. And maybe Allison, you can talk to a little bit. What are some of the pushbacks or the reasons, some of the funniest ones that you guys have come across about why they did do something, whether it was good or bad reason, but what were some, is there any kind of crazy ones you guys have come across?
Yeah. It's almost always about some huge company doing something, right? Like, I think as entrepreneurs, and I've run a small company as well, and as entrepreneurs, we're very kind of, we have this brand envy, right? We want to be, you know, Apple. We want to be like, we see big companies doing things and we want to be able to do them, but we don't think about all the things that go into them. And then at the same time, we're not looking at our own strengths. Like, big companies are often trying to emulate what small companies are able to do, because you don't have to have, like, you know, 20 to 100 meetings before you change something. You can just act and you could be really agile. So I think the funniest things we see are always like, well, you know, some huge company is doing it, so I need to do it. Or, you know, you read an article about a new social media platform and all of a sudden we have to be there before we even understand what the platform is going to be, who's going to be using it, or like why it has to be there. And I think what we try and focus on a lot in unmarketing, like when you said that unmarketing your marketing, is we focus a lot on trying to take marketing out of like the traditional push idea and think about that what you should be doing as in marketing and in branding is creating great stories and experiences for then your market to go out and share for you. Like, how much more powerful it is today with social media when we see a story or an experience or a review from a customer and that we trust because we happen to also have other connections to them, than if the company has kind of like pushed it out onto us. And so that's what we try and get people to refocus on, instead of thinking about, you know, I need to have like, you know, some Snapchat thing or whatever is going to be where like my kids are texting their friends platform, is that's not necessarily the right thing to do. The right thing to do is create a great experience that if your user base are on that platform, they're going to share those stories for you. And they're going to have these great experiences and pictures of great products and, you know, helpful information. Like, maybe if the infographic is the right thing, someone's going to see it and be like, this really helps my customers. This is really important information put across in a way that I can understand that helps me. And so they want to share it for you, as opposed to you thinking about what are the ways I can trick people, or, you know, try and seem like I'm innovative, so I'm going to be everywhere pushing it out.
I love that. That is just perfect along the lines with how I've been thinking lately. And a lot of the stuff that I've been talking about, you know, I've really been trying to push this whole documenting content versus just creating content. And exactly what you said, having everybody that's in your company or anyone that's associated with, they're all a part of the overall story of your brand. They're a part of, you know, essentially they're a part of your company. And when you said that, it made me think of, we shared this on a podcast before, but we got my son involved with a project with Tinkercad, and we kind of just documented the whole process. And what was pretty neat about it is one of our clients, they actually they were, one of their products is Tinkercad, and they heard the story and they loved it, and they wanted to like make a video of it, of just kind of how my son was involved with this project. And so that right there, and paying attention to just kind of what's being said about your brand and who all is involved with it, and just documenting those whole processes, I think is huge. And I like how you said that, you know, get all of it, everyone involved. And I think that's where a lot of people are missing opportunities, just getting, you know, helping everybody on the team understand that they can be a part of the overall brand of the story, if that makes sense what I'm saying.
It does. And I mean, human resources is the most important branding department that you have. I mean, there is no way to escape that. Who you hire and who you choose to be the faces of your company, every point of contact that they have is branding. And it's the most important brand exercise is when you're hiring people, and who you hire and how you treat the people that you have working for your company. And it's no secret that many companies that have trouble with the way that their employees deal with the public is they're not treated well. They're not given any kind of, you know, respect, or they're treated like they're important or they matter to the brand. And yet they're the face of the company, whether it's on the phone, whether it's making the products, whether it's shipping the products. Like, this is the most important branding tool you have. And it's often the people who are completely ignored when we're talking about marketing. It shouldn't be about a commercial or a campaign. It should be about how do we treat our employees who are talking to our customers on a daily basis.
And why wouldn't you get them involved? Because like you just said, they are the ones talking to the customers on the daily basis. And they're going to help you even understand, like we keep going back to, do I need an infographic? Or, you know, I keep using that example, but, you know, talk to those people, talk to those ones that are on the front line, so to speak. And they're going to be the ones that help you understand what kind of content that you need. How can I help you do your job better? You know, what if I created a video on this topic, what are some of the questions that people ask you the most? Like, they're going to know those answers. They're going to be able to help you come up with that better content that you can make their jobs easier. But like you said, if you're not giving them the respect that they need or that they deserve from being on the front line, so to speak, you're never going to know, you know, what kind of, you're never going to know that kind of stuff. And it's going to be hard for you to create that content and do a better job. So I love that you said that. So anyway, Dave, I know that you've been a little bit quiet.
Well, I just think for anything you've ever done in marketing, to chime in here if there's something you wanted to add questions. To that. How are we going to use this? What are we going to use this for? How does it fit into the overall brand? How does it fit into the overall scope and the projects and the, you know, whatever our goals are? Where are we going to use this? And start asking like questions, whether, you know, you're doing a huge commercial, a video, you know, who is the target audience? A lot of times I spend more time now telling people to stop writing content and start creating something awesome, or epic, or, you know, usable, informational, you know, not just, you know, content for the sake of content. Yes.
I think essentially what you're doing is unmarketing, right, Allison?
Essentially, yeah. Like we talk about when we were looking at those brand stories, those 100 brand stories, you know, we were talking about sort of like, okay, so a lot of the stories are, you know, kind of, some of them are funny and some of them are screw up stories, but a lot of them are about companies who've really navigated disruption well. So companies who've been through all kinds of different changes, cultural changes and technological changes, and have done really well. And so what made those companies different was that they had this focus on loyalty, right? So this idea of that loyalty is kind of the antidote to disruption. Loyal customers don't need to go somewhere else. They don't want to go somewhere else. They're happy and they look inward towards you. And so we kind of broke that down. And a lot of those questions you were talking about what the marketing needs to do have to do with that. Like, you have to basically convince people in your marketing that you're going to solve these problems for them, which is going to keep them loyal to you. And every single brand interaction, whether it be an interaction that happens directly to a person, like when I go to a store, or if an interaction happens that it's not direct, I hear about somebody else's experience on Facebook, let's say, or somewhere, all of those interactions change how I feel about a brand. It's never static. It's constantly kind of evolving and going up and down. And the bigger the difference is between my best experience and my worst experience with a brand, the more open I am for kind of competition to jump in. And that's when you see brands just kind of running around in circles. And instead of focusing on the loyalty things, the simple things that make a business a good business, they're focusing on having a new, you know, campaign or something on some platform that maybe no one will ever see. So it's just a waste of resources, we think, and not really what good marketing is about.
That reminds me of one of the favorite shirts that your husband wears that I always laugh at. You know, I'm fairly, what does it say? I'm fairly famous on some.
I'm kind of a big deal on a fairly irrelevant website that inflates my self-importance or yes, something. That. Yeah. Yeah. He does have a good shirt like that.
That reminded me of that. And so
I wish I could remember exactly what it says. He hasn't worn it in a long time. It's sort of like he wore it to to a South by Southwest years ago, and his picture was taken and it was on Reddit and stuff. And so that's like the famous shirt. I don't even know if he owns it anymore. I would have to like find it. So yeah, but he did have that shirt.
Well, so when does the book come out again? Unbranding?
It's out this month. I think that like the 20th or something is the actual date, but it's out in October. You can pre-order it now. It's we have a page on the unmarketing site where you can see all of our books and order them and stuff. So if anyone wants to check it out, and yeah, and it's a really fun one. I love case studies. They're like my favorite kind of books to read. So it was pretty fun to write one. And yeah, I think people get some good stuff out of there. It's a lot of fun.
I'm really excited. Like I said, I own the other ones that you guys have done. Fabulous. Highly recommended. And so I'm really looking forward to this one though, because When you started talking about all the different case studies, like that's the kind of stuff that I just eat up. So I'm looking forward to reading it. And I do appreciate you being on the show. Any last minute words of wisdom before we wrap this one up?
I don't know. That's a lot of pressure. Last minute words of wisdom. I don't know. Oh gosh.
I guess when it comes to, I'll narrow it down a little bit for you. Any last minute, words of wisdom, I guess one, like if someone's listening to this and they don't know you and they've never heard of unmarketing or anything like that or unbranding, what's one bit of advice that you would give them if they're in the digital space? And like, what's one bit of, you know what I'm saying?
Yep. I would say just not to get, to beware of kind of bright, shiny object syndrome and be careful about running around after what's new and what's next and try and make sure that you're really doing what's being done properly now. Well, because I mean, sometimes we see a lot of companies who are chasing after what's coming, what's going to be the next big thing. And like their website still isn't working. Like, and they, you know, their app isn't great, or you can't buy something off their website without jumping through 100 hoops, or the basic things that make it nice to purchase a service or a product need to be in place first before you go chasing after whatever the new shiny thing is. So focus
and try and do things and all that
what you're doing now better before jumping along to the next thing.
It's coming. Squirrel.
It's coming. Run. You know, it's just if I can't go onto your site properly from my phone, which some sites you still can't do, and purchase a product from you or find out more information about your company easily, then virtual reality or all this is going to do nothing but make that worse. You know, like it just,
you have to build the
base first
load a page
before you can go running
and
it on
get your coffee before that page loads. Perhaps you should take a look at some things on your site.
Yeah, if you've never ordered anything from your own site or tried to fill out your own contact me page or whatever it is, don't go and do that before you start jumping into, you know, virtual reality, because you may find that it's a lot harder to buy from you than you think it is.
Plus, when I think about with what you guys just said, if I can send a text with a pizza emoji and get a pizza delivered to me, come on, man, you guys got to make it easy for me. Like, this is where it's going. Anyway, well, for Allison Stratton and Dave Rohr, I'm Matt Soltila. I appreciate you guys tuning in and checking out the podcast today, and looking forward to any kind of comments that you have, any questions. We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll hit you guys up on the next podcast. Thank you, guys. See you later.